Bad weather delays missing family search and government talks closing the gap. Hello, I'm Stephen Clark with the National Indigenous News. The search for a missing Aboriginal family in Western Australia has been hampered by bad weather. The group of four children and three elders were heading from Kalgoorlie-Boulder to the remote community of Junjanjara. The region has been hit by torrential rain this week, causing widespread flooding and damage to roads. Emergency services had hoped to resume the search this morning, but said dangerous weather had forced them to turn back. The Federal Minister for Indigenous Australians, Linda Burney, says the Albanese government is speaking with Indigenous groups to determine the best way to address Indigenous disadvantage following the failure of the Voice to Parliament referendum.
We're working with states and territories who all have various treaty or truth-telling processes underway. And the point that I'm making, Patricia, is that whatever the Commonwealth chooses to do, it's not to get in the way of what's taking place at state and territory level, and that's really, really important.
That was Linda Burney speaking to the ABC this morning. We'll have more after this.
Hi, Natalie Armat here from NITV. No matter where you're from or who your mob is, we all know the importance of belonging to community and feeling connected to country. They're central to our culture. Sunday, March 31 is Neighbour Day, a day that reminds us why having a sense of belonging and strong social connections are not just good for our own well-being, they're also good for those around us. For some easy-to-use tips and resources on how to create belonging in your community, visit neighbourseveryday.org.
Program sponsor.
More than $1 billion will be invested in Northern Territory public schools over the next 5 years as part of a bid to lift education rates across the territory. The funding needed for a public school student in the NT is almost double the national average because of the territory's remote locations and large Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population. Speaking in Darwin this morning, Federal Education Minister Jason Clare says the plan will make a remarkable difference for children in the Northern Territory.
This is a game changer for the Northern Territory, and it's a life changer for the kids who live here in the Northern Territory.
And NT police are appealing for information on the whereabouts of a 13-year-old Aboriginal girl who was last seen almost a week ago. Police say Sanatanya Namajira was last seen walking to a store in Alice Springs around midday on March 7 and has now been declared missing. The teenager was last seen wearing a black t-shirt, black pants with an army pattern, and black thongs. Energy insecurity and a lack of consumer rights are key issues driving efforts to boost renewable energy in Aboriginal communities in the Northern Territory. Adam Evans has the story.
An energy mini-grid, which is expected to come online next month, will be the first Aboriginal community-owned microgrid and will provide the isolated community of Malinja with cheap and renewable energy. Another project in the territory's northeast will do the same for Borroloola and the Gulf of Carpentaria. Most Aboriginal remote communities in the Northern Territory pay for their electricity through a prepaid system, unlike those living in the cities where you have more leniency to pay your bill before your power's cut off. Residents in remote Northern Territory communities have their power cut off when their credit runs out. Laura Mellor from Original Power told NERS News, the prepaid system, which is also used in some Queensland and Western Australian communities, is derogatory and punitive. She says if you live on the East Coast and are part of the national energy market, you have certain consumer protections. If you're facing financial hardship, it's difficult for retailers to cut you off, not so for remote Indigenous communities who are automatically cut off. To help the issue, Original Power, an Indigenous-owned and operated organisation, has been working with the Malinja community north of Tennant Creek to build a microgrid to service the community. The first Aboriginal community-owned microgrid in Australia will provide renewable power to the community via solar panels and a battery, while retaining the existing grid as a backup. The community will still be using prepaid cards to access power. However, power generated by the microgrid will be credited to the accounts of residents.
To stay up to date with NERS News, follow us on Twitter or Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And that's the latest national Indigenous news.
Ted Wilkes from Perth. I'm a Noongar man.
What up? It's your brother, man, Zimbla, and you are listening to
the National Indigenous Radio Service.
The voices of our people.
Listen online live
at nirs.org.au.
When someone was sharing intimate images without my permission and threatening me online, I didn't know what to do. One of my aunties told me about the online safety laws and helped me report the abuse to esafety.gov.au. The laws help to keep people safe from severe online abuse and help to remove dangerous online content. Go to esafety.gov.au to learn more or to report online abuse. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan. Or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
Hey, Bill and Gunnan, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murimu here with you as we broadcast via the WBS, which is the Yidinji Broadcast System. And, of course, if you're listening inside of Australia, it's via our friends at the National Indigenous Radio Service and, of course, Bumma Bipra Media 98.7, which is in the city of Gimoy. Hello to Jackie and all the crew there that make it possible for you guys to enjoy not only this program, but many others. Go check them out on Facebook and on their website, and you'll find a lot more information about that. And you can also become a supporter of that station and a sponsor even. But we're looking at a number of issues today. Yirilim and Ganyara are joining me today. And, of course, we've got a few things to talk about. A big week here on the Yidinji Territory. But also, we'll go into that in terms of the some of the legal proceedings that are taking place. But Ganyara Yirilim, welcome to the show, and I hope you're doing well.
Fantastic, thank you. Yeah, it is a beautiful day in paradise, isn't it? You know, not a better place in the world.
That's true about that, and I thought we might kick off with some interesting developments. Last week, we missed out on reporting it, unfortunately, but in, I think it's Broome, the three children that were, detained against their will, held in captivity, if you like, for swimming in a pool. This really encapsulates what we've been talking about this program, is that for whatever reason, people think that it's okay to lock up kids, but there's a deeper underlying issue here that really needs to be resolved, because a lot of Australian citizens aren't schooled in what the true story is.
Oh, yeah, look, very much so. And it's a sad state of affairs, you know, because the average Australian has not been told the truth by the Commonwealth of Australia. They have been actually denied the truth. And the truth of the matter is Australia doesn't have a legal foundation as to how it got here, you know. We'll go back a little bit, because it sets the scene for what's going on over there in Broome, but it's also around Australia. Cairns and Townsville, they have issues with youth crime, you know, and there's a massive problem building where the Australians are actually starting to not like the Aboriginal people very much, you know. They see the criminals as being blackfellas, black kids, you know. And in this case there, the bloke, he got these kids, and it wasn't even his property, it wasn't his house. They were swimming in a pool that belonged to someone else, and he come along and detained them. Now, these kids were 7, 8 or 10, something like that, they were very young. And he cable tied them, you know, used cable ties to basically handcuff them and tied them all together. And then he called the police, you know. He thought he was doing the right thing. I'll call the police to stop these intruders, these terribly bad people who had broken into a swimming pool next door to him or whatever it was. It wasn't even his pool. And rightfully, the police charged that bloke. Rightfully so, because you just can't do that. It wasn't his property. It was not his position to detain the kids. No adult like that should be detaining little kids, you know. The first thing you do is you bring the parents, or go and find the parents, say, look, what's going on? The kids are here having a swim, you know. If you want to get permission to have a swim, we'll find the neighbour who owns the house and we'll do it the right way. But this bloke locked them up, basically detained them, and that's the wrong thing to do. Definitely the wrong thing. But when you bear in mind, they've been taught all along, the Australians, that this is how you do stuff. You come into someone's house and you take their property. This is how Australia was settled. They come in and they took over the place. They didn't get permission to be here. They didn't get the right to be here. What mechanism did Australia get the right to be here? Because the High Court in 92 overturned the belief that the land belonged to no one. You know, that it was terra nullius, that we had every right, or the Aboriginals were of such low intellect that they couldn't take part in a civilised society. They weren't, didn't have all these systems of intricate law that they now realise they do. So they thought they could just take over and plunder the joint and steal it. And that's the wrong foundation for the Commonwealth of Australia. It's built on a lie. This is something Yidinji's trying to fix, by the way. But going over to Broome there, these kids were harming no one. What adult would do that? Only a redneck adult who is being led up the garden path by the Commonwealth of Australia, who have not told them the truth. If that adult realised the truth of the matter is that they are actually trespassing on the Aboriginal's land, how would he feel then? You know, would that pool belongs to that Aboriginal nation, wherever, whatever was there at Broome. That pool belongs to them because it's built in the land that belongs to those people in Australia. It does not have the legal foundation to do it. It's a massive minefield for Australia to go into, but they had to charge that adult. They really must.
Yeah, I think it's whether you're taking, let's say, the sovereignty look at it in terms of the, you know, the ownership and how Australia got there, it's probably not the best way to approach an issue. And, you know, I don't know what, if he was having a bad day, the bloke, or watching too many or playing too many video games, whatever it may be, but I think he can make his life or break it in terms of he can learn from it, and I certainly think that community over there will be better off if it gets solved a lot quicker than what normally happens.
Sure, and then, yeah, that's one perception. That's certainly the Western perception that by some sort of ruling that'll all be solved and resolved, whatever happens. You know, I've got grandchildren their age. Can you imagine, like, you know, your children being detained by some idiot? Like, it's hard enough for the parent or grandparent to, as they were standing on the outside the property trying to get their children, he wasn't letting them. It's hard enough for them to witness. What about these kids will carry this for their life? And, you know, this person in between, standing in between, the guy that's, you know, handcuffed him up with bloody, what are they called? Cable ties. In a sense, he's demonstrating the Australian way. The Australian way, as Gagnara just pointed out, is that you go onto someone else's property and claim jurisdiction and start acting the way you want to. That's what Australia it did and continue to do. And why would he act any differently?
Well, you know, I'll give you a classic example of the Australian belief, the Australian thought process. I would defy anyone to play Time Your Kangaroo Down by Rolf Harris in 1963. Go and play that. You will see the Australian mentality then. And they go on about in that song, let the Abbos loose. Let me Abbos loose. It's a possessive claim over some Aboriginal people. Listen to the song to see what the mindset was. Now, these people are still alive from this era, you know, where they believe they possessed the Aboriginal people. They were theirs and they were little more than slaves. And so this gives you the mindset of why Australia has walked into this minefield that's there, where now you've got adults tying up kids with handcuffs or with cable ties, believing they're doing the right thing by the police. You know, we'll catch them, we'll tie them up and we'll ring the police and they'll take them away and hammer them, you know, and lock them up.
Yeah, I think Rolf Harris says it all, really, when you sum it up like that. Yeah. But obviously there has to be some sort of remedy that's... and we keep coming back to it, that only a treaty or something that will sort this 100%, all these things out. And that's where Yidinji's coming from. I think it's really important to stress that, you know, if you've got a property on the Yidinji territory with a pool in it, and someone's swimming in it that's not from there, let's say, I think would be very much in line with protecting your rights, but also educating everyone involved as to what should take place.
Well, what if it was a white kid swimming in there? What if there were three white kids? Would that bloke go over and handcuff him and you know, hog tie him all together? Would he do that? You think about the opposite now. They were little white kids having fun, yak on and carrying on like they normally would, like those three little boys were doing. would they handcuff those three kids? Would he cable tie them together and then ring the police? Or would that, is that different? Think about what was said. You know, is that different? Because their skin is black. Nothing else is black, only the outside, the skin. So all of a sudden now, because they get, you know, you can't deny racism is alive and well in Australia. It is there everywhere.
And to a certain extent, there is a large population of the Aboriginal people on this continent with an invisible cable tie around their hands.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, inside of Australia, I'm talking about closing the gap target, over-representation in juvenile detention, deaths in custody, you name it, it's all there, and you wonder why.
Very much so, and this is the sad part. The Commonwealth of Australia has done a good job as the Pied Piper. He's played his flute and all the people are following, and he's dragging them away from their original law where the sovereignty resides. True and proper sovereignty of the Aboriginal people is outside of Australia. It's foreign to the Commonwealth of Australia. It's on the land. The land is owned by those people pursuant to those laws that are foreign to Australia. They're the owners. But they want to go inside Australia and lose the right of ownership. You know, they want to go and get some little trinket, some little bead, or a little blunt axe head off the Australians in lieu of their whole land, you know, their whole law system. And as we keep saying, we're the ones that have to offer the treaty to Australia, not the other way. Australia cannot offer a treaty to us. If we're the owners of the place under law, under sovereignty that's neither ceded nor extinguished, we must offer something to let the Australians be in our country, to let that man who hogtied those three kids, to let him be present, let his identity be present on our territory, let the Commonwealth of Australia that represents that man be present on our country.
Yeah, this brings another issue about, I saw a YouTube video that, I haven't watched it, but it said that Alice Springs is the most violent town in Australia, and it's some guy going around and looking at different hoods or something like that. I can't remember his name, but it's been promoted on YouTube on certain feeds, because obviously if you're looking at Indigenous content, sometimes they'll put up these things, and that's how the algorithm works. But you know, just the fact that it's out there, whether you agree with it or not, this is what's brewing now. And, you know, Marcia Langton said there's going to be an intifada and all this kind of stuff. And to a certain extent, she's right in that there is this underlying issue that is beginning to fester, let's say. And it's going to be quite nasty if things aren't settled properly and correctly.
Well, I'll give you an example, and it really worried me greatly. I was just having a general conversation in the street with some blokes, and we were talking about the Aboriginal problem, you know, the issues of youth crime and all that sort of stuff, and I'll term it what they said, it's the Aboriginal problem. And one bloke said, we've just got to go and shoot more blackfellas. We've got to go and shoot more blackfellas. We'll get rid of the problem. We'll shoot more blackfellas. Now, what a comment to make in the modern world we're in, we're going to shoot more blackfellas. That's something you'd hear from the 1700, 1800 era, coming into the, you know, 1920s, 1930s, when they were literally shooting blackfellas. You know, this was how the Commonwealth of Australia established itself, shooting blackfellas. And that still lives on, you know, because where we are, where I live, is in a town with the highest no vote. It really is the showcase for the redneck world, you know, the people where we'll cure the problem. If the police can't sort out the youth crime, we'll sort it out. And actually, in Mareeba there, I hear there was one case, and it didn't make much of a headline, but once again, like what happened to these three kids over there in Broome, two kids were breaking and entering, two Indigenous kids were breaking and entering, and the adults detained them and then rang the police, and then the police had to charge them once again for detaining the kids. You know, this is not how adults work. Adults don't detain kids and lock them up and handcuff them and do all this. You know, you got to go and see their parents and say, look, your kids are breaking in. What are we going to do about that? Be like adult. Be mature. But once again, the issue, the underlying issue is the systemic racism that is in Australia, that Australia was built on. And, you know, we were told back in 2018 by one senator that big building down in Canberra, that big one with the big flag above it, that's where the racism originates. It's in there. It's very very racist. It's very redneck. It's the white Australia policy still alive.
Exactly, and it's still present there today. And this is the whole point, is that there are, inside of Australia, let's say, a group of people that want to maintain the status quo. And that's where you're just saying no thanks. If you want to live here or be present here, then this is how we're going to do it. And we're not zip tying anyone up or cable tying anyone up. Even our police, for example, we don't even have those instruments.
We don't need firearms.
We don't need firearms. Even zip ties, we don't even use those. Mm. I mean, this is the whole point that through Bumi and Matthew Bilbra, the whole point of self-defense or police is it's the art of peacemaking, and peacemaking starts with the conversation and logic and truth, and this is what I think we're promoting absolutely on this program. Yurlin.
Absolutely. There's no other way, you know, and it comes from that deep, centered cultural start. You know, everything that culture is centered on is that we are equal in spirit, you know, and if that's not your starting point, you're off track, and no law made by man can ever go forward if it's not starting with that as a center.
Well, what happens when you deprive someone of their customs and heritage where... You know, the Aboriginal people weren't allowed to speak language even at one part. Yous will not speak that, otherwise we'll punish you. You know, this is on the missions, and I'll call them missions, which are just a little more than concentration camps, unfenced concentration camps. You know, you weren't allowed off without permission. You had to toe the line. As Bumi said, they shot his father in the foot for standing up to him. You know, this is how Australia was built. And the people do lose all sense of connection to their old customs and laws and beliefs. And you don't, you know, kids were never cheeky to the adults, you know, because they were educated in that process. Don't be cheeky. Be good kids. You'll grow up to be good adults. And yet they've been deprived of all this connection to law. And that's where in Alice, they're starting to go back to realise that their law is still there. And they go and do law on country and they realise that, you know, these white fellas don't have a right to be here. And so they're sort of rebelling against... They're going to the other extreme of what Yidinji is trying to sort this out peacefully.
And thank you for saying that, because there's another issue that I wanted to highlight, is that some of the young people that are doing that aren't from the Arundo mob, which is the local mob there in Umbunta, Alice Springs. And because the local mob aren't in control of their tribal jurisdiction, then lawlessness abounds much. And it doesn't matter if it's white fella law or somebody else's law coming there, it's not going to work properly because the ones that are originally from there aren't in control. And it's similar to here. You got people from outside of the Yidinji territory coming in here, doing what they want because they see it's fair game. And of course, that's going to affect businesses and property owners and all that kind of stuff. And that's what we're saying. You've got to have to revert back to the original design for this place. Oh. And that is Yidinji. Yidinji in control. You know, to date, not one Yidinji police officer has killed anyone. Whether they're white or black. They haven't shot them. They haven't done anything like that. And I can say that, you know, without... triggering too much, that, you know, Mareeba, I'm sorry, but it has a reputation and a history of killing black people. So this is where we're coming from. Like, everyone thinks that this is a sovereign citizen movement, or not everyone, but certain people might think that inside of Australia. It absolutely isn't. You're the sovereign citizen because you're trying to enforce law on something that isn't yours and you're not from here. But that doesn't mean you can't live here if you want to work with the Yidinji, for example, and that's where this is coming. Your ways are creating havoc, and it's falling apart. And you need the tribes to reaffirm and reconvene their ancient law.
Absolutely, and you know, like you mentioned with Arunda there, dead right. Actually, on the local radio station over there, the Arunda presenters were saying, look, don't leave your kids in town. From the mobs outside of Arunda country, when they come into Alice Springs, take your kids back, because they were just dropping them off in town, you know, and letting them do whatever they got to do because they believe that they were within their tribal law to go in there, but they're actually breaking Arundel law. And on radio, they're saying, look, just take your kids home. Don't leave them in town. And that's fair enough because the Whitefella law can't control them. The Whitefella law, same as here, can't control people in their true capacity as tribal citizens, you know, of our world. And then when you mention the sovereign citizen movement, there has been a number of allegations levelled against the Yidinji people that they are a sovereign citizen movement. If you understand what that is, the FBI have a good little one-pager out there. A sovereign citizen movement is an anti-government extremist movement on the far right. Well, hang on, we're not far right, we're not anti-government, and we're not inside the political world of Australia. We are asserting sovereignty, the one that's always been here, and the one that coexists with the sovereignty of Australia. The sovereignty that's never been ceded or extinguished. We're reasserting it. So it's not a sovereign citizen movement. We have law enforcement. We have law and law enforcement. That's who we are. We're not a sovereign citizen movement. Those people who believe they're outside the realm of law, but, you know, a crocodile could be considered a sovereign citizen. He's outside the law. No law can touch him, and he's got the teeth to do what he's got to do. But when he steps out of line too far, what do Parks and Wildlife do? They euthanize a crocodile. They get rid of it. They kill it. That's their perceived belief. So if you want to be a sovereign citizen like the crocodile who can enforce his position against the average human, sad to say, this is where you're going to end up. But we're going to do this maturely and as adults and reassert our sovereignty, the one that hadn't gone away. And the purpose of that is to do a treaty. We must be in the correct office and capacity to do a treaty. And this brings me to another question. Where and when did the Aboriginal people become subject or peoples of the Commonwealth of Australia? When did they become subject to the Constitution?
Well, hold on to that thought. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for your company. We'll be back soon.
Looking in the mirror, face my own demons. Had every right to be mad, I had my own reasons. But to take it out on family was a bad feeling. I just wanna pay back my mob with what I was gifted. I just wanna be a good mummy, build my babies a home. Put a crown on my mama and I'll build her a throne. You can't talk about my past cause them days dead and gone. And if you go and bring it up, you must have hate in your soul. And that's real, I just wanna bring it back for a minute. And thank my sister and my mama for my children. Cause I was trapped in addiction and in prison, but they gave me the tools so I could live a little different. Thank my matriarchy and thank my babies for me. I must be a good woman if I birth them seeds. And to be a better woman, I must follow my dreams and give back to everybody who done gave to me. It's a full circle, what goes around comes around. Yeah, I was lost at the start, but my soul got found. And I just wanna be here and make my whole family proud. Do everything in my power to make them all smile now.
Ha. The black is strong and powerful.
I'm believing it and I'ma do better. Good karma, yes, I'm receiving it. Made it all real cause I was sick and tired of dreaming it. And this life here's a gift, I'm gonna keep on succeeding it. I had to get it out of mud and make it better. Grab my babies by the hands and we're gonna do this together. Got these tears in my eyes while I write them love letters. And I know I'm not perfect but I'm never gonna give up. I gotta plant them seeds and tell the truth how it is. I gotta stand up strong and be a mum to my kids. I gotta come back strong and go and face some fears. Cause I was sick and tired of hating on myself for them years. I am powerful, and I don't even know the half of it. But I'm whole within my being, and I am no longer masking it. Every time I fall, I now look at the stars. Cause dreams are for real, I'll never lose that spark.
Ha. The black is strong and powerful.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Hey, listen, Ganyara, you were asking about when did Aboriginal people become subject to Crown law? At what point? Usually there's a treaty or an agreement or some sort of mechanism apart from deceptive recruiting and slavery, for example, which you can't do that, or forced assimilation. But this begs the question, because obviously, with the Yidinji Nation, its position in time is first in time, which is often preferred at law. And John the Baptist, in the book of John, says that one is preferred because he's before me. And he's talking about Jesus in that particular case. But here, Yidinji is first and is preferred because the Federal Court of Australia says that Yidinji not only owns the land pursuant to its law, means it owns the land according to Yidinji law, not Australian law, which the Yidinji government was formed under, that is, the Yidinji law. It has its roots in the Yidinji foundation, the Grundnorm, and that has now come to light that is absolutely alien or foreign to the Commonwealth of Australia. So it's a good question. Where and how did Aboriginal people become subject to the laws of the Commonwealth of Australia?
Good question, eh? Because let's go back to Queensland, the colony of Queensland. When they were formed, there was actually the Electoral Act, mid-1800s, Queensland, colony of Queensland, and all the Aboriginal people were excluded from voting. Okay, we just keep that in your mind. They were excluded 100%. You can't take part in any voting. Yet at 1900, when the conventions were taking place in the late 1890s through to 1900, the conventions were taking place to vote on whether they should start to form the federation called the Commonwealth of Australia. You know, so these votes going on, and all the people of Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia agreed to unite in one indissoluble federation under the Australian Constitution, under the Crown. You know, this is who it is. So all those people agreed to, but they voted. The Aboriginals, remember, in Queensland, the Aboriginals were excluded from the vote. They weren't allowed to vote. So they didn't agree to unite under that Constitution. And we'll fast forward a couple of years from after Australia was formed, or actually a year only, the Franchise Act 1902 said, you Aboriginals aren't allowed to vote again. And that didn't change until 1967 in the Commonwealth realm, when the referendum said, yeah, we will just remove some words out of the Constitution mentioning Aboriginal. So up until then, no one had been allowed to vote to agree to become part of the peoples of the Commonwealth of Australia.
And to have something conferred doesn't mean anything.
It's a gift. A conferral is only a gift, you know. If you want the gift, you can have it. But then we'll fast forward a bit more again. Let's fast forward to 2012, 2013, and the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander People's Recognition Bill and Act. And let's go to the bill, or the memorandum of explanation memorandum, that said we have to have this Recognition Act in place so we can unite the nation. To me, if you've got to have this to unite the nation, that means right now the nation is not united. There are the Australian people and the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples that aren't united under the Constitution. That's in 2012, 2013. The Act gets through for a few years. Then all of a sudden, let's fast forward. Come on, we'll go forward to now the Voice. And what are they doing with the Voice again? Because the Aboriginal people aren't subject to the Constitution, or they weren't recognised in the Constitution legally. They're still not in there. So we've gone from the mid-1800s right through in a timeline till today, because the Voice failed. Okay, we don't want to recognise them Aboriginal people. They're not going to take part in our Constitution. Are we in there?
When you're quoting all their laws, one thing that just came to my mind is that, you know, you hear sovereign citizens, they're quoting the Magna Carta, they're quoting common law and UK common law and this 1666 Sesta Kee Vai trust thing, and there's none of that. This is about Yidinji law. It's not about anything like common law or Magna Carta. That's still foreign to Yidinji. This goes way before Magna Carta. And I think that's really important to comprehend that's how you would distinguish the two. And not only that, we've released paperwork and public notice, you know, alerting the world, basically saying that sovereign citizens are a threat to the Commonwealth of Australia and to the Yidinji Nation, of which the Yidinji Nation wants to offer the treaty to the Commonwealth of Australia as its first preference. And if the people in the executive in the Commonwealth of Australia understand that, and maybe they do, maybe they're just trying to play games. I don't know. But this is the important thing, that our police, our citizen, is our responsibility, our jurisdiction, game over, full stop, shop shut. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah, well, look, sitting right beside me on a desk here, right beside me, is a learning law book that was gifted to the Yidinji Nation. And in there, if you go into the, when you read that book, in the first chapter or so, they actually mention that the Australian law does not connect back to the Aboriginal law. It doesn't connect. This Australian law goes back into the old English law.
That's right.
But it's got no connection to the original law because sovereignty was not ceded.
That's right. That's its mummy and daddy there, right there.
Over there in Europe.
King Charles, that's why King Charles is the Australian king. I don't have an issue with that. In fact, we've been on this program many a time before saying that the Yidinji Nation, through its government and its law, is here to protect the King of Australia, the Commonwealth of Australia and its constitution and all its juridical persons, whether it's the Queensland Supreme Court or Officer Bob down the road, and that's huge. That intention and that statement, in fact, is exactly what this nation's all about. It's about peace and security. It's about settling the past and securing the future.
And it's the opposite to the sovereign citizen movement label they want to place on Yidinji. We aren't anti-government. We are the government that wants to offer a deal to another government to come onto our country and bring their stuff on our country, you know. So this is the important part. The Yidinji Nation is not a sovereign citizen movement. It is the government.
It is. And we've got the police minister here. Bomi, we were just talking before you came back in, about the Yidinji police and how we're not carrying guns and weapons to harm visitors or tourists or white fellows or black fellows. It's about keeping the law like your father and your grandfather did.
Yeah. See, when you've been taught, you can't get out of it, you know, and living that life, you know. See, one group will come and see, there's one bloke, I call him Harrison Ford, he looked like him, and he trying to come in and try to sort the Aboriginal about their law, and it doesn't work that way. Grubbleman tried and Tintail tried it. My dad told them to leave, you know. We don't need them. So we know how to build a house. So now we've got brick and a bit of nail now. But the law of how law, it doesn't work with white people, you know. We got a good law, you know. With a knockdown tree, I go shooting around, or we eat the fruit when it's ready, we go for the fish when it's ready. Yeah, we don't go by monthly, we don't go by any, we go by how rule, and about marriage and about dancing and talking. And so as a police minister for Cairns, Yidinji Gimawala Borough of this land that Yidinji people own, right through, see, that's what that fella said. Sorry, I'm using white and black here. But no buts or is, or that's why he put it back into his sentence, he said, "You will speak nothing else but Yidinji." You know, I haven't lived that life, you know. I got taught from mum and dad, my mum from the Hiraman tribe, Georgetown, all them places up there. But our ropes around their necks. I mean to say, now we've got a scar on our body that they're going to take it off. You know, we want them to come to our table so we can have a talk. But now we under their rules, they fighting on TV, you see them, they had more grey than what I've got, and they don't looking too good, and you know, all these things goes on, and they never sort it out yet.
And Bumi, you're a good police minister in that in your other history, you was a police with Queensland Police,
yep.
And I think it's important to have police on both sides, but the Yidinji police is here to look after bummer and other things that maybe white police or Queensland police don't have cultural understanding?
Yeah. Well, I've got to buy my gear yet to go along to Esplanade and talk to my people. They know who I am, and even the police, even the people who work along the Esplanade and in the mall, they know who I am. So getting to our people. See, our lot was disturbed, yeah, from our own people and what Land Council brought to the table to us, you know. And there were a lot of shifting from our own people to another and fighting and goes on. That's not from us. See, when I went to Geraldton bringing that up again, that left you.
We did. They said, oh, these Aboriginal there, we were put down over there. I know how to wait at all. And when that means they do fight. Well, Geraldton there will hear me, but you can't do that, you know? You can have a meeting about the land and that, but it's getting too violent too, you know? But coming back to my hero, just that they need to understand, you know, they know. And up the top there too, that our people, you know, like, it's getting out of hand now too and makes it hard for us.
Well, that's right. And Yirrlim, I'm going to bring you in here because, like, if you wanted to talk about women's issues, let's say, would you get a man to speak or a woman to speak? If you wanted to talk about cultural issues, would you get a Yidinji person for the Yidinji territory or someone who may know a little bit about Yidinji? For me, it's a no-brainer. To have someone with the knowledge of Wumi and other elders involved with this push, it's not a sovereign citizen movement. This is A-grade quality law and instruction in knowledge.
Yeah, of course. Now, listening to all the information that's been provided on the Yidinji approach and contrasting that with the Australian approach over the last, you know, 100, 150 years in this area anyway, where exactly that's what happened. It was purposely done where other people were taken from their country and put onto other people's country. And you wonder why there was conflict and problems, you know, apart from being kidnapped and, you know, and all the other horrible things that happened. It just seems to be done on purpose so many times, right up to today, where instead of choosing the person, such as in this case we're talking about Bumi, to talk anything about Yidinji, they'll bring someone else in on purpose to create that disruption and problems between it. And, you know, it's the discussion that Ganyara mentioned before. Like, after all the ways have been explained of how we approach it, could you imagine trying to run a voice in Yidinji? Why would you do that? You know, it doesn't make sense because in Yidinji law, as a citizenship law, we're all equal. So why would you have separation? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy, but listen, I think Ganyara, what Bumi's been saying is hits the nail on the head. You know, his father's 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 father is Yidinji 100%, and that's the law. You know, if you go through Charles's lineage, I'm sure in a tradition and custom sense, he can show you his family tree and genealogy, which shows some sort of evidence that he can speak for his tribe. And that's what I'm saying. You can't. For Bumi to go to England or anyone else and say, this is my land and I'm going to put my law here, it would be incorrect to do that in terms of it would go against the Yidinji way.
Yeah, well, actually, there was one young Aboriginal chap went over there. I'm just trying to think of his name. It eludes me right at present. He stood over on the beach there.
Burnham, yeah.
That's Burnham. He laid claim to the great world over there. Look, it is stupid. When the British come here, they went up and down the east coast a bit. They didn't go to Tasmania. Remember, they went to Sydney. So he went to Tasmania, but they just sailed around a bit, then went up into an island, you know, that was remote from anywhere else and laid claim to the whole east coast, including Tasmania. You know, that's like standing on Sicily and claiming all of Europe. I'm going to claim this for mine. And on what grounds? How could you do that then? You just couldn't. It was total BS back then, it's total BS today. And it's been overturned by the court. So we get to this now, this impasse. There's a current impasse here where the Australians who make up the bulk of the, you know, the Commonwealth of Australia make up the bulk of the people here, roughly 25 million, you know, 97%, against the 3% who actually do own the place. And they're trying to just keep that last 3% inside Australia so they don't go back to their true laws and work out the ownership right, and then offer Australia the treaty. This is what it's all about. They're trying to stop that. And it's going to be forever and a day a foundation built on quicksand if they don't do something about it.
Yeah, and I'm really concerned because if they don't do anything about it in terms of listening to the Yidinji people, you're just going to have to look at the history books. When Moses said to Pharaoh, hey, you got to let my people go. And then what happened when they didn't do that is that all these things started to happen. Now, the spirit world is very real here. It's real everywhere. The unseen world is very real. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Instead, we pray for our enemies and those who curse us. That's the Yidinji way also. So hoping that they can turn around their life, you know, and come to their senses. And I think that's where, even putting aside the spiritual matter of it, this is simple business. Okay? This is business. If you're occupying a property and you're selling, you're making millions of dollars in pizzas and you're not paying for the rent, and the guy comes, in this case, Yidinji comes, say, hey, look, you got some good stuff there. How about we lock this in? We lock this in through a contract and keep using this space. Keep using you keep using your business, and I'll open more businesses up for you because you're very good at doing this business. I think it's that simple. And, you know, as long as we get a slice of the pizza now and then we'll be happy because that's what we need. We want to go out and walk in the park and go and play with the dog and take the children down to the beach and whatnot. You keep running the business. I think that's quite fair.
We're trying to do that, head down that road. But, you know, ultimately, the challenge is going to come to where Australia's got to demonstrate its ability to apply its authority to our people, subject to the Australian Constitution. It's got a... What authority was given by the Constitution to the law enforcement agencies of Australia, including the state of Queensland, that subjects our people who didn't vote to be part of that, who didn't vote to unite with the rest of the Australians, to be subject to that Constitution? That's going to be a big one. It's going to knock a lot of people around if they don't come and talk to us.
And the other thing I like is that Bumi's talked at a number of times. Bumi, I'll let you talk soon about tribal adoption. Now, Matthew Bilbrough may be white fella on the skin, but he is 100% a Yidinji officer because the tribe here has correctly created and set up their government to allow people to take position in office. And can you explain that, Bumi, how we all won under you?
Yeah. Well, like I say, I've been taught. What Dad done with the outcast kids, when the police came around or the government to come and get to separate now and take the outcast kids away, my dad said to me, no, you leave them kids alone. So what I do with the Yidinji lot now, when they come in and they're not Yidinji, I put my word over them now. But if they want to come down the creek, I'll put the clay over them and do a proper ceremony, you know. And that's a thing to come with me now, get behind me. And they got right to talk, because we're teaching them here too about the law, you know, and that what position we play, you know, in our ground as Yidinji people. So Matty, he's a police, he's a sovereign police like me, and he carry our law now. But these other fellas, they don't like it because they know we're on top of them, you know. They're going to use their way of saying, we'll take you to court, we put you in jail, and we got our gun, we got our hand, all these things come along, you know. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think that's very important that, and you told a story about the charcoal and your father and your grandfather used to put them charcoal over the people. And you know, when we talk with our citizens, and when we talk, he reminds them that they're under his wing. And the same way that Gaiba or God does that with us through tribal adoption and Ganyara, these are things that even the Queensland courts recognise in terms of, and the federal court, for example.
Well absolutely. You know, when I just listened to Uncle talking there about this, you know, it just, the Queensland Human Rights Act, Section 28.3, I think it is, talks about Aboriginal people shall not be subject to forced assimilation or destruction of their culture or whatever. That's in their legislation, not even ours. We know that we can't be forced into their world because we didn't vote to take part. But their own legislation says that the Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders shall not be subject to forced assimilation. Are they going to force our police to be seen through a Queensland identity, or are they going to be forced? How can they do it? If it's going against their own legislation, is that not leaving those police wide open, those Queensland police officers wide open to being chased down under their own legislation? We're trying to save their own hide from this, which is why there's with this court case that's going on over our police, their police type stuff, the interaction that's been going for over 12 months now, by the way, with no hearing time in court, other than adjournment and adjournment and adjournment. We've got to resolve this issue, and the only way we can resolve this as to how that constitution may or may not have authority over our people is through a treaty, a formal agreement where we sit down, we just stop all the rubbish, sit down, and as Uncle said there, the Yidinji had forms of adoption. I know that for a fact. You know, the whole box and dice is there, and it's actually mentioned in the Munding Alp by Yidinji case versus Queensland, the native title thing, where it says there, I'm just trying to think on what article that was, that there were adoption laws pursuant to traditional law, not Australian law. This is Yidinji law. So they're mentioning, once again, two things there. And these people are coming along to make good the treaty with the Commonwealth of Australia. This is the reason why we've got to go back to our true office and true standing.
Yeah, and it's really important. I think it was mentioned to me recently that I think it's in courtroom number 5. The Yidinji mace is in there, and there's all this kind of stuff. You can have all that stuff in these courtrooms, but it does talk about something else. Where did that come from, and who made that? Did someone from London or Londinium make that? No. Did someone from Sydney or Canberra make that? No. Someone from here make that. You know, and you got to remember, on that mace, it's got the chief cornerstone. It's got a pyramid on top of it. And all I'm saying is that the chief cornerstone is on our side.
Well, look at you can look on YouTube. It's there. The law opening year 22-23, Cairns Courthouse. Look her up. It's there. It's online. You can see the whole box and dice. In front of the whole court building were Yidinji police, Queensland police, the judicial system from the state of Queensland, you know, with Justice Henry as the most senior from the Supreme Court there being the head. Then there was the Yidinji judicial system, if you want to, for want of a better word. And they both laid down their garments, their instruments of representation, where the Queensland side laid down their black robes and their wigs, and Yidinji laid down their shields on top of that. You know, this was a proper ceremony taking place. Look it up, and you'll see Yidinji police in the background.
Yeah, just type in Cairns Courthouse ceremony.
22-23.
Yep, and even before that, Bumi, you were there, remember, at the courthouse as one of the tribal elders that oversaw that. And that's a very important ceremony where they had the judges and everything like that there.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing for Yidinji to be there and tell us to go there, you know. I think we do it every year, yeah. And that is recognising us in the right sense, you know. They must, because I go to a church called Salvation Army. They said, oh, we got the head in there, and I go there, and they take me around too, like the architect. You know, I go there, and I've been travelling around, and they said, we got uncle, he's an elder, and he tell us how to build his house and how his walk of life, you know, because they haven't got what we got, you know. And that's the biggest thing. We still got our language, our dance, and our walkabout, our cooking. He's still there, you know. And, but that's what his other stuff. We don't have them sort of stuff with us. But we share it, you know. And that's why they should see us now to say, hey, we're going to have them. Let them go, you know.
Well, I like what Uncle just said about building a house. We're coming along to fix up Australia's house. Our house is perfect. The foundation of our house is built on rock-solid ground. It's been here forever and a day. What's the foundation of Australia? If it's not built on quicksand, what is it?
Well, even the good book says, you know, build your house on the rock. And who is that rock? That's Gaiabara. That's God and, you know, Yeshua, Jesus. And so we've got to make sure that we're looking after our neighbour or even the one that is living on our territory. What I like about that ceremony that you mentioned is that all those instruments are on the ground. The law of the land is there. Who owns that land? According to the Federal Court of Australia, Yidinji owns the land pursuant to their law.
Which means that we've got to fix up the foundation of their house. That's our duty, our right, and our obligation to fix up their house. Otherwise, we're going to be just as bad as them. If we don't fix up the foundation of Australia, it's going to leave it wide open to some bad, nefarious groups that may get in here, and it won't be good for any of us.
That's right. So anyway, we're going to go to a break. Black Law Tribal Edition. We'll be back after this with some final comments.
She all about funny. She love to work hard, but not care about the money. She priceless, like a professional wifey. And with a smiley face, she acting all innocent. Me have to give her space. Me know she gonna want it, cause she got the thing on her body. Me tell you fantastic, me feeling irate. Don't you know that when you're teasing me, it's based on lies. You give me the looks when you pass me by. Me know that you're a house girl, girl, yeah. So let me tell you something to sweep out that feeling. Baby girl, you're not gotta be shy when you already know there is nowhere to hide and no reason to lie. Girl, you have to know this. Good times are hard to find. Girl, me have to tell you straight. I gotta order for you, cause you're always on my mind. Well, I'm always on the grind. Girl, keep it in mind, just in case. Girl, I would never ever break your heart. Baby girl, if you think I lie, I know you'll never time I call you mine.
Oh my, yeah. You see me, see you dancing in the club, acting all easy. You know me like it. You know me want it. Me love the way your body moves. Me love the way you acting. You're my rookie.
Well, it's flown past today, and we've got the all-star lineup of Bumi, Yurilam, Ganyara, and myself here today. And I guess that some final comments, Yurilam, we'll start with you.
I suppose just going back to the one of the stories we started with, just to say that our thoughts and feelings go out very strongly for all the children and parents involved with that WA horrible event, and hope everything resolves itself as quickly as it can.
Ganyara.
Well, look, in saying that as well, you know, I agree with what you said there. You know, the family doesn't deserve this. But also the Australian families deserve the truth. They all need to be told the honest truth. The honest truth is that they don't have the correct standing or the correct right to be here yet. And the only people who can resolve that are the people that they locked the children up from. Think about that. You've locked up their children now, detained them, and they're the only ones that can fix your standing or your right to be here. So Australians need to be told the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yes, okay. Bumi, some final comments from you today to everyone listening out there?
Yeah, that's a very irritating thing what they've done with them. Kid, tie them up with that sort of thing. And when you move it, tighten and tighten and tighten, you know, you can stop their blood from running too, you know. That's a big hit for us right across the board. You see, when anything happens in Australia or even in our family when they pass away, we all feel it. And in Australia, what you do to us, we all feel it, you know. And that's got to stop, you know. Yeah. Okay, Uncle, say, I say, Kalinga, and, you know, take care of yourself too, yeah. Okay, see you then.
Yeah, that brings an end to the show. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy it. And if you do want to learn more about some of the things we discuss on the program, you can visit our government website. The official one is yidinji.org. And there you can find some more information about the Yidinji Nation, especially if you're looking to establish and reconvene your law in your tribal territory. That is important for true settlement and you know, securing the future for everyone who lives on your territory. But Bumi, you want to say one more thing?
Yeah. See, like what they've done to them kids there now, that's a very irritating thing. Especially when you come from this sort of life, you know, that lying about it on the table. And see, my granddad, he got shot in the foot. And when if I'm with the family, just hadn't had them things go away, and you know, but it's hurt me sometimes. And but to see more things go on, you know, it's not right, you know. there's a lot of things going on, and especially when they hit us, you know, like, it's a hurting thing, you know. Yeah. Well, my mum was tied up around the neck, Yirrkala tribe. It's a long, long walk too for them, and dad, for me, Gunjara Redling, and his father, they went, and we see, yeah, too much for me, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Bumi, and we know that